you think back to an experience when you were maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, and, you know, maybe now you're in mid-age, midlife, or hopefully it's not a midlife crisis. God knows I've been going through that for a couple of decades, I think, folks. But here we are. You think back in life and you wonder, if I only knew then what I know now, would things be different? How would they have changed? I mean, we're not allowed to exactly forecast or to change the past, and we can't forecast the future. You can try. You can set out your dreams, your goals, your thoughts, and try to aim for that. But you really don't know. And it's funny how much we learn over the years, and we finally get to a point where we say, damn, that seems so simple, so easy. Of course, that's never easy. And you know why, friends? When you're that age, think back. Come on, you can do it. Think back. Think back to when you were a young lad or a young gal, and you thought you knew everything. The life was in front of you. The world was just amazing, and you had your whole life in front of you. And you kind of, you don't really think you're doing a lot of things wrong. You, at that moment, you think you're living life. Of course, you don't have the experience. That's the problem. So living life means, well, there are failures. There's highs, there's lows, there's valleys, there's mountaintops, there's, you know, it's what we call life. Life is funny. I've defined that a few times in my own life. So what is life? Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, you think back to an experience when you were maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, and, you know, maybe now you're in mid-age, midlife, or hopefully it's not a midlife crisis. God knows I've been going through that for a couple of decades, I think, folks. But here we are. You think back in life and you wonder, if I only knew then what I know now, would things be different? How would they have changed? I mean, we're not allowed to exactly forecast or to change the past, and we can't forecast the future. You can try. You can set out your dreams, your goals, your thoughts, and try to aim for that. But you really don't know. And it's funny how much we learn over the years, and we finally get to a point where we say, damn, that seems so simple, so easy. Of course, that's never easy. And you know why, friends? When you're that age, think back. Come on, you can do it. Think back. Think back to when you were a young lad or a young gal, and you thought you knew everything. The life was in front of you. The world was just amazing, and you had your whole life in front of you. And you kind of, you don't really think you're doing a lot of things wrong. You, at that moment, you think you're living life. Of course, you don't have the experience. That's the problem. So living life means, well, there are failures. There's highs, there's lows, there's valleys, there's mountaintops, there's, you know, it's what we call life. Life is funny. I've defined that a few times in my own life. So what is life? We're going to talk about life today. Well, we got the right show. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Our co-host today, coming from Melbourne, Australia's Dean Menzel, and Los Angeles, Aaron Morgart joins us. We're going to look back ourselves in our lives, and I want you to do the same there, and think about the things you would tell your younger self. So if you could, whether you're 30 now, 40 now, 60 now, or whatever age you're at, you think back and you say, okay, what would I tell my younger self right now if I could at that age? And would it make a difference? This is an interesting topic. It's an interesting topic to me because I'm always living and learning and moving forward. And then, you know, sometimes we're not happy with the choices we make. I mean, I can think of a whole lot of different choices I probably would have done differently. But again, I want to put kind of what I call the Surgeon General's warning on this show today. And here it is, ladies. It's this. I believe in life, you really need to use the front window far more than you use the rearview mirror. Far too many people spend their eyes and their time in the rearview mirror. I save that for less than 10%, sort of as lessons in life, you know, that you look back and you sort of know. But I keep my eyes focused straight ahead in the big window. And think about that in the car as you're driving. Your window right in front, that's where you got to spend your time. You don't spend your time looking at the rearview mirror. It's the same analogy you drive in a car as you should live your life. Spend your time looking through the big window of life, moving forward and learning. But there are those moments, and you say, I wish I could do that again. Now, how many times have you ladies had those moments where you could look back and say, if I could only do that again, I wish I could do it. Aaron, what do you think? Would you change anything if you could look back for real? You know, and I don't know, just kind of in the abstract, back so many years, would you change things?
I believe I would definitely change things in my high school years, college years, most definitely. I would have spent more time studying, less time socializing.
Isn't that funny? You kind of know that you spend
more time. Oh, absolutely.
That's funny.
That's a definite. I did do a lot of studying, but I would have studied more. And I really think that I could have used my time more efficiently. So that's one thing. That would have been a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, that's kind of funny you say that and using education there. Dean, what about you? Would you have studied more, or is that on your list of things you regret, or are you more the socializer or the study?
Well, I was really quiet in high school. You know, I did have my nose in the books, and I went to university, and, you know, so, like, for me, I really didn't socialize as much as what I probably could have. So I probably would have gone the other way, maybe to just, you know, relax a little bit more, not be so worried, about life so much, and just to, have some good social moments would have been good in high school. I think that would have been good. But you know what? Like, I sort of see it like, have you ever watched Back to the Future?
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
With Michael J. Fox. And I look at my life now, and I love my life now. And I just wonder whether if I had a time machine and if I went back into the past and changed even just one thing, whether or not the ripple effect of everything would just...
No, Dean, that's important, what you're saying right now. That's important. Listen, you that's the holy grail of this whole thing. And here it is, Dean. These decisions you make in your life, right? These sometimes it seems like a little decision. It can change everything. I mean, change absolutely everything. For instance, I have a dear friend some years ago that I helped get a job at a restaurant. And I helped them get this job at this restaurant because I knew the manager there well and I had set them up for it and so on and so forth. Well, she ended up meeting her future husband there. And she wasn't going to work there. She didn't want to work there. But I suggested this would be a place for her to be for the moment, and she took it. Now, can you imagine that one decision you make in your life is a ripple effect? It can change absolutely everything. So in this person's life, that one decision on working in that restaurant, Dean, it sort of changed everything because she would have never met her future husband had she not been there. So there is a moment in time where we are supposed to be where we are. And things sort of, it is a ripple effect. Like, you know, even like right now in your life, if you're thinking about moving geographically to another area, well, you're going to meet more people, more interesting people, things are going to change. So what I'm saying is, back to the future, you know, you mentioned that movie, Dean. So what if we're not in that place at their time? So if we went back in time, which we're not able to, then what would that mean? Would that mean that we would be able to change something? And then if you change something, you've seen some of those future movies, it changes everything. And then things happen, you know, right? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, like, there's so many components to it. I mean, like, I'm very much into the law of attraction, and I listen to a lot of Abraham Hicks. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, like, I believe that when you make a postulate, when you make decisions on things, and you want your life to go in a particular way, and you persevere and so forth, and there are all these little twists and turns along the way. I mean, like, I think the really big things in life, if you're really aligned to it, you'll get there eventually. I think it perhaps in a different way, and that's probably where the differences in our lives happen. I mean, like, my husband, it's a funny thing. I actually worked my job where I worked many years ago in an accounting firm. I was in the building on the same street where my husband lived, two blocks away, and didn't even know that. This was probably about maybe 5-6 years before we actually even met across paths. And just in our conversation, we had actually travelled to Queensland and were on Great Keppel Island at the same time, 3 years before that. And it's an interesting thing. So we didn't meet then, that 3 years before then. We didn't meet then, although we probably walked past each other on the street, you know, going to work and so forth over those years. And then we met many years later, just through a dinner. So it's an interesting thing. Like, life took us in different directions, but there were, like, many instances where we could have met but didn't, and finally did. So what do you think about that?
Well, there's something about being in the right place at the right time. I mean, there really is. I mean, it is amazing. There's a path for all of us, and I often talk about this. I find it really, really fascinating. And I've always been interested in this future thing or past, or what if we could change something. You know, and there are things we would all probably change in our lives, because let's face it, life is not perfect. Life is not designed to be perfect. I mean, for those people who are young and reaching out for a perfect life, you almost kind of feel sorry for them, because there is no such thing. And here's the thing. It's these missteps in life. It's these moments where you screw up. Or these, even sometimes it's this negative stuff that happens. Well, these are lessons in life. These are steps that they shape you. They shape your personality, your attitude. They drive your intention. They make you more spirited for what's going to happen. And yeah, we wouldn't be who we are without those missteps, ladies. There's no way we would be who we are. We have to fall down. That's all part of life. I think the real, where this all comes together is, for those of the population who understand that the mistakes and the missteps of life are intentional, they're supposed to be there, and they'll help shape where you're going. In other words, you live and you learn from them and you move on quickly, so you don't live in the past. I think those people are far ahead of those who never get over it. And I'm talking about everything, getting over a relationship, getting over something that happened years back, something that's never gone. This is hard to do. And Aaron, a perfect example is, you know, if you're out of a relationship and you were in a relationship, a previous relationship that you were totally in love, and that's no longer there, that could be really hard to get over with and move forward. And in which case, many times you're going to think back and you're going to live in the past. I see that as a problem for a lot of people. What do you think?
That's a definite. And a lot of people do that. They do tend to live in the past, and that can apply to even past even memories. I find myself looking back on memories with my father, who passed away when I was 19, and you know, those things, that's a little bit different, but it can reshape how you think, and then it molds exactly how you determine, I think, your future. You know, what you would do differently. So then that actually gave me a chance to you know, make a very concise decision as to how I would move forward.
Yeah, because especially, if you use those things in the past as lessons, Aaron, and you use those missteps or those, well, I hate to say the word, but kind of sometimes they're failures in life. The failures in life are actually part of the richness of life. It's actually when things are most interesting, is kind of when you fall on your ass. And you learn how to pick yourself up and dust yourself off quickly and move on. I've done that in my own life where I didn't let it keep me down. But I guess, again, it depends upon your outlook in life, Aaron. It depends, are you optimistic? Are you forward thinking? Do you live in the past? I know a lot of people who spend far too much time in the past. I mean, they don't use the 90-10 rule. I call it a 90-10 rule. 90% forward in the front mirror and 10% in the back, the rearview mirror. The 90-10 rule of life. Always keep your focus in front of you. But I think a lot of people fall short of that, Erin. They kind of spend their time, well, with regrets. And you can't live in regrets because you can't change the past. You see, you can't change those times you had with your father, Erin. You can't change those times from school. You can only change today and tomorrow as you get there, right?
Exactly. That's a very difficult lesson to learn, to live in the present. You really have to be intentional when you are doing that. And I'm definitely guilty of that. And with things that have happened in the past, circumstances, decisions, people that I should have never done business with, things of that nature.
That's a
And
perfect example, Aaron. Perfect example. Yeah.
yeah.
That people you've done business with, people that you'd avoid, right?
I would have completely avoided. And a lot of that, though, is simply being too trusting, and which can also backfire, because then you do become that pessimist. You do become that person that you don't follow that 90-10 rule. You do a 50-50 rule, and then it becomes more difficult to become, getting back to the 90-10 rule. And that's a hard thing to get back to once you're looking at the 50-50,
Well, people get mired down. The 50-50, that's an interesting way to put it too. But yeah, people get mired down in all of this. They get trapped. They get really, really trapped, and they don't know how to break out of it.
Right.
And then life sort of gets more complicated. I don't know. It really is. We all are creatures of our own destiny. We all sort of have it in our grasp to control things or change things. But we sort of forget a lot of simple lessons in life. And that's kind of what I want to talk about on this show. There's a couple of interesting things, ladies. One of them is this very interesting story from Entrepreneur that was sort of the catalyst for this conversation today. And I want to share that with listeners today. I want to share that with our friends here. Seven things I would tell my younger self. Seven things I would tell my younger self. Interesting piece that I. It's like I said, was the impetus for this whole conversation today. I thought, I kind of like these. And of course, it starts off, listen to your gut. I think there's a lot said about that. I think a lot of people could listen to their gut more because your inside voice knows a lot more than it's letting on, than you're letting it on. It's called your conscience. And then your gut. And your gut can actually talk in a better, it's actually in a better position to talk to you than your heart or your brain if you listen to your gut. And it's been proven now. And scientifically, it's all connected, but your gut can really relay the messages to your heart and your brain in a very interesting way. But a lot of times when you used to make that saying, say, that old saying like, oh, I didn't listen to my gut. There was something more to that. There was
Yes.
something, yeah, something more to that gut feeling. I have a gut feeling. And a lot of times I sort of know that gut feeling thing, and I think, okay, I gotta listen to that gut feeling because there's something more to it. So this list of seven, let's dive into that a little bit more. There's some interesting takeaways in all of this to help everybody out of things that you might tell your younger self. And for me personally, wow, there are definitely some things I would tell my younger self. And as a young man, I would have told myself now, if I could tell myself back then, is I would have said, keep your pants zippered up and knock it off. That's what I would have told my younger self, and stop it, you little wise ass. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Aaron Morgart and Dean Menzel. We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutloud.com.
One thing I know that I would have done for sure is I would have been less of an anxious person. I would have stood up for myself much more. That's definitely rule number one. That's what I would have absolutely done that with people, with any kind of situation in school, anyone who, because I used to get teased a lot, and it really just became menacing after a while. And so that's what I would have done. I would have absolutely gotten in their face and probably slapped them. Many people physically and mentally slapped them. That's a very honest statement, but that's what I would have done. I definitely would have done that. And there's more, but I want to hear more about Malcolm. And
I bet you do.
He would actually keep his pants zipped up.
Yeah,
I want to hear more about that.
Well, you know, when you're a young, when you're, what's the word we want to use? Some people say promiscuous. That's it. Yeah. Some people call it frisky. Some people call it just, you know, getting laid.
technical term.
Whatever you call it, yeah. So no, at that age, I would not have had sex in the back seat of that car.
Ah.
On that particular afternoon, which resulted in a whole change of my life as a young man. Yeah, I would not have done that. I would have changed that. So I think this is where you learn as young people that it's not all about, again, it's not all about sex, friends, but you learn that later on in life. But, you know, sometimes the decisions we make at that age can stay with us for a lifetime. There's the consequences of our actions, whether you're 16, 18, 20, 30, or 70. I think a lot of young people don't consider all the alternatives. And they don't consider all the things. They just look at the moment. And it's funny, we do that as young people. We don't really consider all the factors. And yet, there's something to be said about when you're older, where that spontaneity of a young person is so needed. Think about the balance of those two worlds, ladies. I mean, think about that, Dean. It really is interesting to me. As you get older now, you sort of kind of need that spontaneity that you had as a younger person because it keeps life interesting. It keeps it, you know, it's always unpredictable, life is, but it keeps it a little more interesting, a little more fun, maybe not so predictable. Got it. But yet on the flip side, when you're younger, that spontaneity can get you in trouble. Now, isn't it funny how to try to balance those two worlds, Dean, when you're younger and when you're older, is not an easy road to navigate, is it now?
No, I think, you know, like I remember doing some really stupid things too when I was like younger, and one of those things, which, you know what, I will share it with you. But when I was 18, and a friend of mine had a holiday house, like his parents owned a holiday house. And so he invited a whole bunch of friends there, and so probably, you know, maybe a good 10, 15 people there. And I was not a drinker, but somebody had made homemade port, and I drank that night, and I drank, and I drank, and I drank, and I drank to the point where I completely passed out, as in blacked out. And when I woke the next day, I had no recollection of anything.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
It was completely scary and humiliating, and you know, the only thing that that I was really thankful for was that I was actually in the company of good friends, because if that had happened to me in an environment that I did not know the people that who were there, then anything could have happened.
Well, your life could have been completely changed at that point. So that's a decision that could have changed your whole life. How old was you then, Dean?
I was 18.
18, okay.
And yeah, and so after that, I promised myself I would never, ever allow myself to be in that kind of a predicament ever again. These days I hardly drink. I don't, I hardly touch a drink. My husband's the same, we don't really feel the need to do that. So there you go.
So those people who are highly curious, highly investigative, highly unique in that way that they, sometimes it's the young people who break shit just to figure out how it's made. My son is kind of that way. He'll take things apart or tear it apart just to see what's in it. But being very inquisitive, there's something to be said about that. But think in the terms of being a disruptor and what that really means as a disruptor, that if you're going to go in like technology or business ideas or thoughts, if you're going to change the paradigm, if you're going to change something ahead, you've got to go in and be a disruptor and rock the boat a little bit. And if you do that, people get nervous. They get uncomfortable. But ladies, let's face it. The most brilliant people in the world who've done the most brilliant things weren't exactly always in the graces, good graces of everybody. They sometimes were edgy. They were, because they were disrupting. They were getting people out of their comfort zone. And people don't like to always be out of their comfort zone. You know, they like to be comfortable, in a comfortable life, in a comfortable existence. I had someone say that to me not too long ago here. I just want to have a simple life. I don't want it to be complicated. I like the white picket fence thing. I guess there's something to be said about that for some people. I don't really have a white picket fence in my life. I don't really want a white. In fact, my white picket fence would have graffiti, street graffiti all over it. You understand?
And Christmas lights left over, and you wouldn't take them down.
Well, if you walk down the street and you've seen my house, Mr. Out Loud's house, and there was all these houses and stuff, my house would be the picket fence with street graffiti all over it.
I love it.
That would be my house, because I am not interested in a white picket fence. You can take it and put it where the sun don't shine.
The thing is, too, is that, you go to school, I'm just sort of thinking back to the high school days or even the primary school days, there's this thing of kids, you go to school, you want to fit in, you want to get approval, from the other kids. There's the popular group, there's the not popular group, everybody's got a group. And I really like that part of the article, that it's not really if we could go back and sort of say to our younger selves, you know what? It's not the be-all and end-all to fit in a group. Be yourself, it's okay. And I even had a chat to my daughter about it tonight. She's starting back school tomorrow. And she was sort of saying to me, Mum, I feel like, the other kids don't understand me. And I said, well, is that a bad thing? And she said, well, then it makes it hard to, have a lot of friends. And I said to her, you know what? The thing is that if you are yourself, and I'm myself, and for me, I don't really think of it as my life's goal to have a gazillion friends. That's not my life's goal. What I love meeting people, and I love, having people on my journey, and whether they become good friends of mine, that, you know, happens when it happens, but I don't make it my life's goal to make friends. I have really great relationships. What I love is just to be myself, and whoever chooses to, you know, hang out with me is awesome, you know. And I said for her, it's the same thing. Be yourself, and if they want to hang out with you because they want to hang out with you, then excellent. If they don't, be happy doing what you're doing. And I've got a saying that I actually posted on social media today: do what you love and love what you do, and just be you. And
well, and let me finish that quote: and life will love you back. You see.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. You know what it is? You're talking about a follower leader mentality, Dean. Follower leader. And you're so right to tell Mickey that, your daughter, because if you are subscribing to a follower theory at that age, then you're in trouble because that's gonna stay with you all through life. And you know, when you have to lead, when you lead by example and you lead, that's a more uncomfortable place to be, Dean. It's for some people, for a lot of people, it's more uncomfortable because, let's face it, the spotlight's on you and you're being different and you're being unique and you stand out and so on and so forth. So it's a little bit different there. Hey, Dean, I have to ask you, what age is your daughter Mickey going in? What grade is she going in?
She's in prep, so I don't know how it is in America, but yeah, we've got prep before grade one.
So she'll be going in first grade?
Well, she's in the year before first grade. So we've got 1 year of what's called prep or preparatory.
We call it kindergarten, I think. Yeah, yeah. How old again is she? Six? Five?
She's 6 years old.
I thought she was six. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it's interesting that you were saying about leaders, because we had an interview with her teacher, who basically said to me, she's a natural born leader. So I think that's what she's
exactly
feeling.
Exactly. And from everything you've told me on this show, if listeners have listened to your past shows, they know that you often refer to your daughter in certain lessons and certain life points. And there's something to be said about that, Dean, because it seems to me like she is going to be a leader. It seems to me from a lot of things, because she's very curious, very, very curious. She doesn't conform or just go through it all, and she stands out a little bit differently, gets a little uncomfortable sometimes. She's questioning things. Those are all really terrific modes of a leader, of a future leader, and not so much a follower. And as we look more at this list, and this list, an entrepreneur of seven things I would tell my younger self, I sort of like, very much like some of these number three and four on this list, I want to share with those with you. They kind of play against each other a little bit, but probably not when you dig down into them. I want to share those two when we get back in just a moment. We're going to pause right here. We're going to be right back on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure in just a moment here with Dean Menzel and Aaron Morgard. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, it's, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you. Can you imagine reprimanding yourself, reminding yourself, or telling yourself, well, you know, kind of, if we all just had a little more of a conscience at every age of life, we probably could handle this topic, subject matter today. But, you know, we don't always have that at every point of our lives, because life is, it's kind of a lessons we learn at different chapters of our life. You know, we're different when we're, you know, 20, than and certainly in our teens and 20, and then when we're, you know, let's say a little more responsible in life, whether that's 40 years old for some, for others it might be 80. Some people take a little bit longer to mature, you know? Look at me. I'm a case study on that. I'm still trying to mature. In fact, people sometimes will call me a juvenile delinquent, and I take that as a compliment. You see? So anytime you call me those names, I like those names. I consider them a compliment and say, yeah, yeah, that's me. That's me. You know? But so I promise you on this list here, on this things you would tell your younger self, and there are a lot of things, I think. And I mentioned a couple of things already, like, you know, listen to your gut, not other people is another one on here that's really, really good. And I already talked about the gut. So this is a real important aspect of everything you do is listen to that gut. But I wanna point out this take more risk. Interesting quote from Warren Buffett here. He says, risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. That's where risk comes from. And I talked about being a disruptor, because you don't always know when you're in that disruptor mode, you know? And it goes on to say here, he was saying, when I was younger, I played things a bit safer. Well, that's interesting, because that's opposite of me. But as I learned more and more and learned to trust my own gut and gather my own intel, I began to take more risk. See, now most of us, or some of us, or at least I took a lot of risk when I was younger. I like to be a little more careful now. Not too careful now, keep in mind. I'm still jumping off of tall buildings, friends. But, you know, yeah. And you know, ladies, one thing I've discovered is when you jump off tall buildings, you can get hurt, especially if you're not wearing a cape. You see? Yeah.
And that is a good lesson, yes.
Yeah. You know, you can get hurt. But this guy here in this article here, an entrepreneur, Daniel Nitich is the author here of this. He kind of played it opposite of me. He says when he was younger, he played things a bit safer. Now, do any of you relate to that? Because I haven't heard that from you, Dean or Aaron. When you were younger, did either of you play it safer than you do now? Or are you more in my camp where you probably wish you had?
I fall in the category, I think, much like Malcolm, like you. It's just in my personality to be a risk taker and also to really... go after things, but that can come back to bite you, which I learned, you know. But essentially, no, I've always I'm also a very curious person, and I think that once you follow that curiosity, and if you learn, if you think you have the ability to do certain things, I think you should follow through with that. And I think that's part of, you know, gifts that you have or that God has given you. And I think that you should follow through with
it. So you played it more like I did as well. Dean, how about you? Did you play it more like myself, or did you play it more like this author here, Daniel?
I was very, very on the safe side in my younger years. I was very conservative. Not because I... for me, it was about making sure that I... did, you know, what I was told. I was like the good child.
So you were more like Daniel here then. So you kind of played it safe in your younger years, huh?
Yeah, I was. And like, you know, and then as soon as I finished university, because like my mum said to me, there's one thing that, you know, I really want you to do for me, and that's to go to university. So I did my accounting degree. I did it for my mum. I didn't do it for me because that wasn't my passion. As soon as I finished... and I got my degree, I joined a band.
So, Dean, so hold on now. That's crazy. So, what? You're not doing anything with that degree now, are you?
Well, look, you know, the thing is that, you know, everything that has happened in my life has been part of the journey to where I am, because what I have now is I have multiple businesses. I know how to set them up because I basically set up businesses while I was at an accounting firm. So I know everything that needs to be done to set up a business. So I've got a business mind as well as having a creative mind. So I've got the best of both worlds. So I know how to take care of my financial accounts. I know how to do how to run a business at a profit.
All right, your point is taken, but did you have to get a degree in it to figure that out? I mean, it seems a little extreme, but what I'm saying is there are a lot of people who live their lives or through their parents' eyes, or their parents want them to do this or that. I don't think that's a good place to be.
Well, look, the thing is it depends. I mean, for me,
you should have took the music course, not the accounting course.
Well, look, I would have loved to have taken a music course. But the other thing too is that part of my alignment in life is, you know, my parents were very important to me as well. And, you know, that's something that I actually was willing to give my mum. I mean, she had basically, my dad passed away when I was 11. And, you know, from the time that I was 11, my sister was 14 at the time. My mum gave up her job to basically look after my sister and me for, you know, she got us through school, she got us through everything. And, you know,
so you felt you felt you needed to pay back a little bit here, a little bit of, right, that you were willing to do that.
Obliged, I actually wanted to. You know, it was something that I wanted to give her.
Dean,
you know,
is your mom still here now?
Yeah, she is.
She's still, okay. You know, and so how does she feel now with you? Now you're married, your daughter, life is different. You're so into all this other stuff. What does she think now? Is she kind of remind you that, she doesn't remind you that you went to, you got a degree in accounting, right?
Oh, you know what? It took my mom a while to understand that my passion is music. You know, after I'd finished with accounting and I joined a band and I got a tattoo and I did all these crazy things. And
Dean Menzel has got a tattoo. Wow.
Yeah, I'll leave that for another show.
Wow. Tell us where the tattoo is, Dean. Where is it? Is it on your arm or your leg or some private part?
It's in a spot that you can't see right now.
Oh, we cannot see where the tattoo. Oh, boy. There's more to this Dean Menzel story, Erin, than I thought. Go ahead, Dean.
Yes.
There is. But I'll tell you this. You know, after I did all of that and then I started a business, I actually created a performing arts school. And it was that point, you know, and I persevered, I had that school, that performing arts company for about 10 years. I hired all these teachers. We had a successful performing arts company. And she actually said to me, I think it was about maybe 5 years after I'd started the school, and she goes, you know what, I can really understand now who you are, and I'm so proud of you for the success that you're having. And she basically... it was very important to her to see that I could make something out of it.
Well, the lesson in all of that is you have to be true to yourself. And let me just remind folks, please, be true to yourself. It's really about your ambitions. And what you want to do in life is, I hope you don't end up with just a J-O-B, but that you end up with something that is tried and true in your heart and in your gut of life, because we're all destined for some greatness somewhere. What you got to do is you got to find that path forward. And nothing sadder than to see somebody live their whole life in out of realm, out of their comfort of doing what they were designed to be. I mean, you think about that in life and all the talent sometimes we would miss if people didn't truly do their... And in other words, I'm talking about your passion. You must follow your passion. We all got passion somewhere. Just like artists happens to be, mine happens to be on radio. Mine happens to be delivering great messages and inspire people. You know, not just to entertain, but inspire them to reach higher, to live a better life. What I want to do now is I want to find out, as most of our listeners are on the edge of their seat wondering as well, we all want to know this, the answer to this question next. So, Erin, Where is your tattoo? Where is your tattoo?
You know what? I do not have
All
one.
right, so hold on, Aaron, you don't have a tattoo.
No.
So Aaron, all right, listen, I don't have one either, but I've often wanted one or thought of one. We know Dean's got one. I do have an earring, you know that. And I've had that earring for many, many years. I like it. It's a nice diamond I have in there. Sometimes I put a hoop on. When I'm in one of those up yours mood, Aaron, I'll put my hoop in. You understand? And I got a gold
Yeah.
hoop and a silver hoop, but it's sort of like when I'm really in the real honorary sort of mode. It's you know, when I got the hoop on, I'm like, in fact, I think I'm gonna put the hoop on today, Aaron, because I'm in that mood. You know what I'm saying? You know,
Uh-oh.
I'm in that mood, and so it is, ladies. I gotta confess, so I'm gonna put the hoop on today, and I got a couple of hoops, different ones I wear, and they're kind of nice. They kind of say, you know, it's my picture of freedom. It's like a woman wearing no bra or something. It's like I have an earring. You understand? It's my picture of freedom. So now what I am thinking about, Aaron, is I think I might need a tattoo. What if you and I go together and we have the camera there and we get some tattoos out in LA somewhere? What do you think of that? We just get something nice, something well placed. Doesn't have to be bad, but something clever. What's that, Dean?
What would you get?
That's a great question. And we should actually fly out to Melbourne, Australia, and do it with Dean, actually. Aaron, would even be better. That'd be a hell of a treat, you know?
I've already got one, so yeah,
But you
I'll
could take
feel.
us there. You could take us there, and we could, yeah. But anyway, so what would I do? Well, Aaron, first of all, would you do that with me if I said, let's go get a tattoo? Would you do it, Aaron?
I would contemplate it. I already know what I would get, but
Tell me, what would you get? What would you get?
On my one of my Facebook pages, I have Chinese characters, and both my children took Mandarin Chinese with the private tutor. And I asked the tutor, I said, "I want you to come up with a moniker for me." And he did. And if you go to that profile, what those characters represent is White Warrior Princess.
Ooh, I like
Oh
it.
boy. I love graffiti art. As I already said, my white picket fence would be filled with street art. You know, I just love graffiti. I love art. I love street art, urban. I love the urban feel. Of course, I love the country too, but I love the urban sense of life. Life's been lived here. Like some people, like when I'm in different countries and I see their graffiti art, I love that. I'm gonna do a collection, a book collection of graffiti art and do some poetic sayings with it because I enjoy it. And you know, a lot of the times I see this graffiti art. Some people look at that as like a violation or a litter, like a litter or something. I enjoy it. So like when if I'm in the streets of Italy or I'm in the streets of some Europe country and I see the graffiti, I actually go to the places where the graffiti art is because I so enjoy it. And to me, it's all part of life that people have been here. And so I like graffiti art. And a lot of people think it's like litter. And I don't think it's litter at all. I think it's really cool. So let me ask you both. If I was to, I'm very serious. Now this is a serious question. Now don't bail on me, please. If I go and get a tattoo, what do you think my tattoo should be? Dean, you go first. What should my tattoo be? Now take a shot. I haven't. I'd like to get one at some point, but I don't know what it is. Help me figure out what it is, please.
Well, maybe I don't know, maybe like a Pluto but with horns coming out of it.
Oh, Erin, Erin, she's on me. She's on me. She's got Pluto with horns coming out of it. Now, see, I kind of would have more of a halo on Pluto for me, but see, she thinks I got a little bit of devilish in me. I don't know, Erin. What do you
Well,
think, Erin?
you could do you could do Pluto with horns on. You could do two, actually. Oh, on your left side, you could do Pluto with horns. On your right side, you could do Pluto with a
Now,
halo.
when you say that, are you talking about my left cheek and my right cheek and my ass, I mean, or somewhere, or just the left and right side of your body?
Well, I mean, a lot of people do it like on their wrists or, their ankles,
I always
and.
wanted to have one on my backside down lower that said kiss off, that you could just drop your pants and show that to somebody, kiss off. That would be kind of a great message. Maybe not. Maybe not. Kiss off, huh? Or kiss my. So Aaron, if I had to do one tattoo, what would it be? In your what should I do in your world? What would Malcolm do?
I would have to say I like the Pluto idea.
You
But
do.
I don't think that's sufficient enough. It's got to be something louder. It's got to be
What about a
something.
what if we did a what if we did a kind of a unique megaphone without loud on it or something,
That's
you
what I
know?
was thinking. Or someone like I was even thinking the emoticon, but which is on your phone or most people's phone if you have an iPhone or and I maybe an Android, I don't know, but a figurehead shouting and something to that effect.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about what it's going to be yet, or something, but I got to think about what this is going to be. And I got to picture the
Or
moment
say
when
something in classical Latin. I like those too. When I worked with the military, everyone had tattoos, and they actually, really weren't supposed to have them. They had to hide them. They had to be hidden when they wore their uniform. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the fact that we've gone from risking your younger self to tattoos.
Exactly.
I love
I
this. Some of the things I would tell my younger self. Well, if you relate that to the tattoo things, then it's this, friends. I would have told my younger self to get a tattoo.
Well,
No?
there you go.
That's a great lesson, hunting. Maybe. I've often thought of that, tattoo or not. Some of them I think are very interesting. I think that they can be tasteful. They can be very, very unique. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'll let you know. I'll report back to you when I do this tattoo thing. I'm
Oh,
not sure
please
if I'll
do.
be
Yeah.
in. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be in Melbourne, Australia, or Los Angeles, California, or New Zealand, or back on the homeland and Pluto. Who knows where the hell I'll be? But anyways, so on this list from Entrepreneur, I'm gonna run through these right now so you got them in your thinking mode here of the seven things I would tell my younger self. And number one, being good can be good for the bottom line. Well, there's some truth to that, friends. Number two, listen to your gut, not other people. I totally believe that. Number three, take more risk. Number four, be consistent. Now, there's something to be said about being consistent, but there's also something to be said about being unpredictable. So don't let that one go to your head. I got to put an asterisk on that one because it's a caveat to that, okay? Don't get caught into the trap of life of being too consistent. I think that's a danger as well. So I don't always agree with number four. Number five, learn to love numbers. Well, there's something to be said about that too. I was never stellar in math. I'm a creative guy, I'm an art guy, I'm a visionary, but the algebra, the geometry, all of that shit drove me crazy, man. I'll hire people for that. That is not my brain is not geared for that kind of crazy shit. You know that, ladies, Learn to love numbers. So, and that's your mind, or I'll call Dean up as the graduate mathematician, accountant dude, lady. She's got it all, right, Dean? Dean, give me that number, man. Then you'll say your then that came in handy when your mom drove you to that school. Number six, don't be afraid to be different. Oh, I love number six, man, And number seven, don't just try to predict the future, learn from the past. Again, I call that the 90-10 rule. 90% to the future, only 10% for the past. Learn from the past, but stay and really the answer to this, folks, is stay in the moment of now. Try to be in now mode. Appreciate your life and where you're at. All of the things, the valleys, the dips, the highs, the mountains, the plateaus, all of it. Appreciate what you've been through, but relish the moment you're in right now. Like right this moment, listening to this broadcast, or the fact that I'm here talking to Dean and Aaron, relish that moment of time that is so unique that I often think about this, my mind, ladies, sometimes, like the moment we're sharing right now and talking about this. You know what's really unique about this? Kind of a strange way of looking at things, but I actually, it's the way I look at everything. We'll never repeat this moment again. This is a once in a lifetime unique moment right now. You
That
see?
it is.
It is. The
That's
fact we're talking about this topic, and we've connected the world from Australia to California to Pluto via AKA Florida, we will never be able to connect those dots. I mean, well, we can do it in another subject matter, another thing, but this subject, this topic today, what we're discussing is a moment for now, like right now. So appreciate that. Appreciate where you're at. Look around, breathe, smell the flowers. What we're saying is smell the flowers. Flowers are good. Smell the flowers. Pour yourself a glass of wine. Enjoy. Breathe. It's all good. Life is there in front of you. Remember that. It's been real fun here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We are approaching 100 shows, friends, on this dynamic enterprise. You know, we knew this was going to be very interesting this season, season one, and the fact that we have these extraordinary women we connected from around the globe has truly been a remarkable production. Season one will go to 100 shows, and the last show will play on August 6th, a Sunday. You'll catch us there on America Out Loud Talk Radio, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day. 11 p.m. is the encore. Just do the math and the geography and the location of where you're at, and just listen to us live. Listen to us live right there at those hours, anywhere in the world. You can do that on our apps, Android or Apple, or just go to iHeartRadio, or go to AmericaOutloud.com, or go to Radio God FM, or TuneIn, or AHA Radio, or listen in your car. There's a lot of places and a lot of networks you'll find us on. But find us, whatever you do. Tell friends about it. Season 2, by the way, will start up again in November 2017, late in the year, with all kinds of interesting things, interesting people, life. Life's being lived here. Life is to be lived. And we're doing it here at America Out Loud. Thank you, friends, for being part of this journey. We're blessed to be part of your journey. Dean Menzel, Aaron Morgart. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends. As I continue to think about that tattoo and where I'm going to get that tattoo, I'm not sure. I'm going to think about it.